Welcome to our first edition of the Community Action Group podcast, The Block Party. Today we have Amelia Miller, Michigan Farm Bureau's Promotion and Education Specialist, joining us to introduce March's discussion topic and get to know her a little better. Welcome, Amelia. We're so glad you could join us.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Amelia, to get us started, can you just tell us who you are, what you do, and a fun fact about yourself?
Sure. So as Michigan Farm Bureau's Promotion Education Program Specialist, I get to help County Farm Bureau members with their outreach and education activities. So in some counties, that looks like helping to craft Project Red sessions or think about books to take into classrooms for March's Reading Month. In other counties, that looks like consumer outreach at the farmers market or at other public venues and community networking to share agriculture's story. I've been at Michigan Farm Bureau for 12 years, all working in promotion education with a start in an internship here. And I guess a fun fact about myself, my first day of work here at Michigan Farm Bureau, my full-time work after my internship, was the Voice of Agriculture Conference. So I just baptism by fire started my work with Voice of Agriculture.
Yeah, talk about jumping right in. Perfect. Well, thank you for that overview. You know, you're wearing a lot of hats and helping out a lot of different people. As we dive in, you know, can you just give us a little brief overview of what our groups will be discussing this month?
So with March's Reading Month coming up and National Agriculture Week being in March, we wanted to have you all think a little bit about County Farm Bureau engagement in schools. And this has a storied history with our organization for sure. And so this month's questions will kind of get you thinking about that, thinking about what was fun for you in school. For some, maybe that's reaching back quite a ways. For others, it feels like yesterday. But you're only as old as you feel, so don't worry about that. But thinking about what was fun and engaging and connections that you might have already to schools that maybe you don't even know about or think about that could be beneficial to your County Farm Bureau in terms of relationship development and sharing promotion education resources locally.
That's great. From your perspective and your role here at Farm Bureau, what are you seeing as the biggest obstacle for people to engage in schools?
I think I hear from our promotion and education volunteers that there are two biggest obstacles. One is sort of the age old, we don't have enough volunteers. And I feel like that's not unique to just promotion education, that spans across membership and young farmers and policy and the organization wide and probably volunteer organizations in general. And to that, I would say, bite off what you can chew. And with one or two people, you can make a pretty big impact with not much manpower, not many hours, and even with small investment. The second obstacle we often hear is, well, how do I even start? I don't have a relationship with a school or a teacher. And to that, I would say, maybe you don't, but someone engaged in the County Farm Bureau does. And just like some of the questions that will guide you through this month, help you kind of think outside of the box and where those relationships might start. So often the obstacle might be you personally, as a board member, as a promotion education chair, as county president, maybe you don't have that relationship. Maybe your kids are older and they've, you know, all the teachers have changed since they were in school. Maybe you're newer to a community and you don't have the longstanding relationships, but someone does in the County Farm Bureau.
Yeah, so once we find that one person, you talk about how it's one or two people, maybe some smaller investments can have really large returns in these efforts. How do we measure success in terms of school engagement?
The first way I think that most county farm bureaus look at success is the measure of doing something. So the report back to say, we gave X number of books to a school library, or we gave, we hosted 500 kids at our Project Red. And numbers are really important, and it's very impactful to share the story through those numbers. I would argue longer term, the long-standing relationships and building upon that. So maybe this year it looks like giving 2 books to the school library. Maybe next year it looks like reading the books in classrooms before donating them. Just small incremental builds to show growth in that relationship in terms of involvement and engagement in the schools will stand far beyond the numbers. Quantity is great, but quality is even better. So if we can build those relationships longer term, we can impact students' desire to be involved in agriculture. We can impact their decision-making about food, natural resources, even if they never step foot on a farm or go into a career that really is totally unrelated to agriculture. We can build positive perception and understanding through relationships over time.
Yeah, it takes me back to that saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And it just goes to show that that's true again.
Absolutely. It fits a lot of audiences.
Oh, definitely. So you start this month's discussion topic telling the story of your 5th grade science teacher. When I was reading through that, I went right back to my 1st grade classroom, and, you know, I brought a lizard home from Florida, and that became our classroom pet, and we took a field trip to the teacher's pond, and we were catching all of these frogs and different animals, and just having those hands-on experiences that really took me back. If you could go back and give your 5th grader self one piece of advice, what would it be?
You asked some tough questions, Becca, yeah. I have to say.
We're getting deep.
A lot of us have those moments with a teacher, or particular class in school, and often our connection isn't, you know, oh, I remember chapter 4 in that textbook. That's not what we remember. It's some of the hands-on learning or extra activities that teachers personally plugged into their curriculum to extend our learning beyond what chapter 4 might have taught us. So if I could go back to my 5th grade self, I probably would tell myself to have confidence in my skills and have confidence in who I wanted to be. Sometimes, you know, those middle school years get a little rough as you're making career decisions, yeah. And kind of sorting out what crowd you're going to be in throughout high school and all of that kind of a thing. And from 5th grade on, I knew that my career was destined to be in a science-based path. And that's not always the most popular path to take throughout school.
Yeah, it's interesting how early on some of those fields are identified for students.
Absolutely. There's actually quite a bit of research out there that says students as young as 3rd grade start pegging which a career pathway, at least in terms of like science, business, you know, teaching, some overarching kind of career paths as early as 3rd grade. And usually it's based upon those extension experiences, science fairs, reading experiences, plays, the museum, field trips, things like that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. You don't know what impact you'll have and when that decision's going to be made. So going in knowing as early as 3rd grade, these kids are starting to develop that career path.
Absolutely. It really positions promotion and education very well, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. So now jumping forward a little bit, Amelia, what is the most important lesson you've learned over your career that you think everyone should learn at some point?
Again, geez, you saved the hardest questions for last. one lesson I think that's really important for all of us is to humbly share what you've accomplished. So maybe that sounds like a fluffy way to say brag about yourself to a point, but if you don't share what you've accomplished, or if you don't step up and share a thought or something that you can add in a humble way to a meeting or to a brainstorming session amongst a team as you're working, we each bring our own unique experiences and background, and that's why we're placed in these job positions, in these volunteer roles, on these teams, and so we're there to share it. So share it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's utilizing those gifts and talents that we've been given, we've learned along the way, and I think that's some great advice. So last question, what are three books you would recommend to our listeners?
Books. There are so many books out there. And I love to read. So it's hard to pick just three. One that is some of an unpopular opinion in terms of agriculture literacy is Charlotte's Web. And Charlotte's Web has a special place in my heart for a lot of reasons. Some critics of it in terms of agricultural literacy don't love that the animals take on human qualities in terms of their thoughts and of their talking, which I can agree with, I understand, but I feel that the sentiment shown there is at the hearts and minds of most of our farmers today, regardless of whether you have 50 cows or 500 cows or beyond. That sentiment of caring for our animals and caring for our land is really at the heart of who we are as people involved in agriculture. Another book, a more recent, newer book, very much shifting gears, is a book called Bowling Alone. It is about the shift in community over time. So if we think of bowling, like many maybe of our grandparents were on bowling leagues, parents, maybe some of you are on bowling leagues, and you think about the community that brings about, the conversation, the camaraderie, friendships that are people that you might not, maybe you don't work with them, maybe you don't go to church with them, maybe you don't see them in other places, but, and maybe you have vastly different views on the world politically, in religious aspects, whatever. But without some of those community building activities, where are we at today? And that book poses some really thoughtful questions about that. And then probably, oh gosh, a last book. Similarly, kind of along the lines of the Bowling Alone, is called The Tipping Point. And that Tipping Point book, it's a Malcolm Gladwell book, and it talks a lot about community development, talks a lot about change agents in society and who brings about those ideas and how that changes our society in terms of popularity. Like some of the examples they use are fashion-based examples, like one person started wearing a pair of shoes and then everyone was wearing those shoes. And why did that one guy make those shoes popular? To things like, influencing the uptake of modern medicine in African cultures and things. So as an organization that has very deep roots in our communities, I think that Tipping Point book could give us some influence and insight into the role as community leaders we could play in the trajectory of society, in agriculture and beyond.
Yeah, I definitely captured those books. You know, I'm thinking, looking at our community action group network, those are some interesting books and I think would give us some interesting insights on how we can move forward.
Well, I'm happy to write more questions if you take on any of those books. They're great. They're great. Not all of them are light reads, but, good nonetheless.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you, Amelia. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with before we dive into this month's discussion topic?
Be proud of where your County Farm Bureau is at. Whether promotion and education is at the forefront of your volunteer activities, and you, you know, take it and run with it each year with multiple activities, or you have, you know, one small annual event that's gotten some traction and is gaining more popularity. Volunteering is a part of our lives, and Farm Bureau is one small part of that, but it's not all of it. And so any small impact you have is valuable and is worth being proud of.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, thank you all for joining us for this edition of the Community Action Group podcast, The Block Party. We look forward to bringing you one episode a month. I am Becca Gulliver, this month's host. Thank you to Ashley for producing the podcast. And before we go, here is Colton with this month's featured member benefit.
Farm Bureau members, get excited for your newest member savings program, Key Apparel. With more than 110 years of experience in the workwear clothing industry, Key Apparel provides reliable workwear for rugged use and office wear at the best value. Key was founded on the same hardworking morals and beliefs that farmers display every day. Key Apparel has partnered with Farm Bureau to supply savings of up to 20% on the most durable and reliable workwear. Members also gain access to the Key Business Design Lab, a great resource for personalizing items with customizable logo options. Visit the member-only Key Apparel site to outfit your friends, family, or even employees with amazing apparel options that promote your brand in style. Key Apparel offers free shipping to Farm Bureau members on orders of $75 and up. Visit the Key Apparel page found on the Michigan Farm Bureau website to start saving. If you have any questions about this brand new program, ask your regional manager, your county administrative manager, or contact the Member Benefits and Relations Department at 888-805-4864. Have a wonderful day.